The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
In my younger years, I used up, I believed, 80% of the grace God had for me early on. That, y'all, that is just dreadful. Because you figure you've got like 100 units. Well, you know, by the time I was 25, I was down to 5 units.
Beth Moore helps you learn to live your life encased in grace. Next on Life Today.
For joining us on Life Today, and it's a special day with Beth Moore.
Well, I'm James, and this is Betty, and we're always thrilled to share this time with you. I want to say something to you that I've been trying to communicate as effectively as I possibly can. I think those of you who watch our program on a regular basis have to be some of the most serious, sincere seekers of God's will on this whole planet. I also believe, Betty, that our viewers are the most gracious giving people who give to give for the very blessing of giving to assist, aid, and reach somebody else to benefit them. And I want to thank you. I also want to encourage you all over the world to begin to pray for a great spiritual awakening where the people who know Christ, who may come from very different, distinct groups of worshipers and seekers, to understand that if we have committed our life to Christ and we know He's the way, the truth, and the life, and have experienced salvation, not just a relationship with the church or traditional religion, but a relationship with Jesus, we are a part of that great family of faith that He calls the church and says, "You are my body." And you are members of that body, and we're to be submitted to the head. Let's pray, because Betty and I have been praying so earnestly that the community of faith, the family of God, would so love Him and love one another that we would literally reveal Him in the fullness of His glory. That's our earnest prayer. One of the main reasons that we present Beth Moore and other gifted teachers of the Word of God is to help you grow in the knowledge of Christ, to be built up in the faith. So here is, and I know you'll be glad to hear her, here is Beth Moore as she completes a series that has been an incredible blessing. Here's Beth.
Picture. I want you to have two headings above us, and I'll try to remind you of this continually through our series. Two headings over us that are like doorways before us, like door frames. I want you to picture them. And this one says law. Would you just picture with me? L-A-W. Here we've got law over this doorway. And then we've got our key word right over here, and our key word is what? We got the word grace right over this doorway. And you and I are going to try to get a picture in our minds. Which place are we standing? I want us to get very, very literal with ourselves, ask ourselves some very hard questions. What am I standing under? Because I don't know what this says to you, but I have found myself going back and forth between the two since until I am so dizzy with it in my spiritual life, I don't know what to do. Where are you standing? Under what heading? I love how it says in Romans chapter 5, this grace in which we stand. And then I love how it says in this portion of Romans that we are standing under grace. That means it's under our feet and it's over our heads. We are encased in grace. Anybody getting that with me? Because I want to be encased in grace. And when Jesus Christ became our Savior, we became encased in grace. Now, I've got the sweetest Lebanese friend back in Houston, and he's got the most brilliant accent. I wish that I could do it properly for you because the story would be so much better if I could actually say it the way he says it. But he loves, loves, loves America. You know, and so he cannot talk enough about it. So every time I'm around him, he just has to tell me how wonderful this country is, and it is, and I thank God for it. But he especially thinks it is. He thinks about all, he talks about the freedom of it, the education for his kids, all of those things, and he just cannot say enough about living here. But he ends it by saying, every time he means to say the way we would see it, and how about that, he says instead, and so what? He does it over. It's just delightful. It's just delightful. He said, I got my pen out the last time I was with him, and he left me for a few minutes, and I just jotted it down. And this is, I'm going to try to quote this to you. He said, I came over to find a life for my family 7 years ago, and now my wife and children are here. My children are happy and safe and are in school, and my wife has a job, and so what? Perfect. And see, that is my fear about our topic of grace. Have we heard it so much that it's just, and so what? We're encased by grace, and so what? Well, I'll tell you, so what? This is our freedom here. This is our joy here. This is taking back what is ours by birthright in Jesus Christ that he died to give us. Don't you know how often he stands over us and says, I went through a lot for as little as you're taking me up on. I mean, listen, this was a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. My father had turned his face. I've been through a lot. I gave up my life for this, for you to take me up on 4 inches of what I died to give you? Grace. Now, I gotta tell you, God can use all sorts of things to be a catalyst for a message that he lays on any communicator's heart. But for me, it comes in all sorts of different ways. This one was very accidental, this particular subject matter. It came because of something I threw out on Twitter. And I wanna just read you a little bit of the correspondence. This is how it went, because I realized a nerve had been hit, and I found it very intriguing. It was one of those moments where you just go, I thought it was just me. Anybody? I mean, I thought this was just me. This is what I threw out there. Anybody else at times need God to help you sort out the difference between being obedient in an unclear area and being just plain neurotic? Anybody? How would you respond to that? Well, you know, I just thought it was just, you know, because I've called myself a neurotic 1,000 times. And so I just thought I'll just pitch that out there because I'm trying to figure out God's will on this, and I'm feeling really, really neurotic about it. And I cannot figure out, is this God or is this me being neurotic here? And I watched it hit that nerve, and I started seeing one response after another. My feed just started going crazy. I thought, okay, very, very, very interesting. So I'm going to push it. So I pushed it 2 more times to see what would happen. Here was the next one. Okay, I said, per last tweet, one example. Assuming that in every situation, bar none, obedience to God is choosing the hardest of all possible options. So here's what I'm asking. This is part of what I would call neurotic. In every situation, do we assume that obedience to God is choosing the hardest of all possible options? Overwhelmingly, Yes. If it's A, B, C, or D, whatever's the hardest, that's going to be God's will. Okay, this is getting interesting. So I pushed it because I thought maybe I'm not understanding them. Maybe I'm not making it clear. So I say back to him a third time, good discussion, I say. Yes, obeying is often the hard thing, but is that the way we automatically assume what the will of God is, whatever's hardest? Overwhelmingly, yes. Whatever's hardest has to be the will of God. I mean, a few along the feed had something else to say, but overwhelmingly, I thought, okay, this is very interesting. It was one of those moments when I realized that I was not the only weirdo in Christianity. Anybody got this with me? Now, listen, I don't know what other people out there, you could look up a spiritual neurotic out there on the internet and get all sorts of things, I suppose, but I'm gonna talk to you about what I can, my own experience with what I will call spiritual neuroses. So I'm not what, I'm, I'm not calling it the same thing that anybody else may be calling it out there. I'm just tagging it with what has been my experience. I'm coming to own it with you to see if maybe some other people have the same neurosis as I have had spiritually. Because here's what's happened. Because I flip-flop like a fish on the beach between the two, I've just come to find, maybe I'm the only one, but has anybody else lived part of their time under the heading of grace and then part of their time under the heading of law, and you just keep going back and forth and back and forth between the two until you're so dizzy that you become a spiritual neurotic? That's what I'm talking about. Because here's the thing. I grew up in a wonderful denomination where we were told how to be saved. I knew how to be saved. I knew from the time I was a child that I was saved by grace. So I've not gotten confused over that. Now, lots of my friends do get confused over that. They've really got the legalism even caught up in their salvation. That's not been my confusion. But the rest of my life, I put under the law. I was saved by grace, but I live by the law. Anybody? I was saved over here, but I live the rest of my life over here. Certainly, just hang with me here for a minute. Anybody that does anything to serve Jesus, see if you can relate to this. I may have put my salvation over here under grace, but I always, always put the ministry under the law, without a doubt. Always. And here's the reason. I've done a lot of thinking to try to sort this out in my mind. Here's why I think that I've done it. In my younger years, I used up, I believed, 80% of the grace God had for me early on. That is just dreadful. Because you figure you've got like 100 units. Well, you know, by the time I was 25, I was down to 5 units. You know, I'm sorry. I wish it had been different, but that is just how my life was. And it was like, I've got the... What? I mean, my husband would always go, I hope we grow old together. I'm thinking, not me. Just think what this will be like. Because I've only got 5 units of grace for the rest of my life, and I'm using them quickly. And so, you know, I just like constantly, like, he's going to be sorry he called me. This is very disconcerting and disappointing to y'all, I know, but I mean, on occasion, I just go, he must hate me. I mean, does anyone else ever own that you think occasionally, I know God hates me. I know God hates me. He's so sorry right now. God cannot even look. God is rolling his eyes at me. God, not just other people. God is rolling his eyes at me. I can get all in this trap. Now, let me give you a working definition. I found this in Merriam-Webster, of course. I wanted to define it. You're getting your pen out when I tell you what I'm about to define. You're going to think, oh, I don't need to write that down. Neurosis. I'm about to define for you neurosis to see if we can find ourselves in this definition. A mental and emotional disorder that affects only part of the personality is accompanied by a less distorted perception of reality than in a psychosis. Listen, I was just glad to not have a psychosis. I mean, anybody? I'm just like, praise God. Praise God. Does not result in disturbance of the use of language. I love that part. I felt like it had spiritual ramifications because I can still talk it, girl. I could come say this all right to you. I know how to say it. I don't have to bring this message to you. I know how to say the right thing as if I believe it. I'm just being honest with you. Honest with you. If we can just take a little honesty, this is what I've dealt with. I can get the words right, but I'm talking about the heart behind it that cannot decide if you were under grace or you were under the law. It says, does not result in disturbance of the use of language and is accompanied by various physical, physiological, and mental disturbances. And it's got in parentheses, as visceral symptoms, anxieties, or phobias. Anybody? Anybody? Got some just saying anxieties? What I want to talk about here, because we're making it into a spiritual metaphor, that our neuroses takes a form in our spiritual lives of being nail biters in our faith. Anybody else? Nail biters. One reason why I think that it goes on as long as it does is because it's not necessarily a psychosis. It seems more like us. It's just the way we've always thought. We just live under these two things, just jumping back and forth continually between the two. We still see ourselves, we've been saved by grace, but still see ourselves over here under the law. This is how we got saved, but this is how we have to live. And all of this, here we are, standing under a covenant of contradictions, and it is making us spiritually crazy. A covenant of contradictions. Because your covenant with the law is contradicting your salvation in Christ. I'm not the only neurotic, I don't think. I'm not the only one jumping between the law and grace continually, putting one part of my life under one heading, the other part of my life under the other. And in all of this, I'm so splintered and scattered. Where is the peace? Where is the peace? Where is the peace? I come with such gratitude to God for James and Betty Robison. They are such tremendous people of God, and I not only love them and have so much respect for what they bring to the body of Christ, I also get a huge kick out of them, and I love them dearly. So I'm so grateful. Keith and I both love the privilege to serve with them. And I want to tell you something. On Wednesdays, we get this opportunity. This is the outreach that we do on Wednesdays. But somebody else on the other side of the world doesn't even have clean water to drink. They can't even get their minds wrapped around weekly Bible study because they're trying to stay alive. There are people that don't have enough food to eat, and there are outreaches of life that are meeting those kinds of needs. So I love being part of a ministry that has a broad range perspective on the gospel of the living Christ. So thank you so much, not only for participating on Wednesdays, but in all the outreaches of life. We are so grateful, and may God bless you.
Well, Beth, let me just say to you and to your husband, Keith, and to Living Proof Ministries, you've been a great supporter of our mission outreaches by going in person, hands-on, reaching out, and touching those who are so often, too often overlooked. And then you have faithfully supported us. And we want to thank you. And I want to say to all of you who appreciate the fact that Beth Moore and other teachers feed you and give you literally water for life, spiritual water, spiritual bread, we're asking you, with the greatest possible expression of love, to help us give water for life that opens the way for the missionaries and our outreaches to point them to the water of life, Christ. There's not anything, and I know, Betty, we have heard it over and over, there's nothing our viewers enjoy anymore, and they like doing everything that's effective in sharing the life and love of God. But there's not a single outreach that our viewers are more excited about than giving not only a cup of water, which Jesus says is so important, but to actually give a well of water. When you make a gift to give water, that single gift keeps on giving, basically for an entire lifetime, and you're giving life. I want you to listen and watch and hear a mother's story. I think you're going to want to respond. I think you are going to be very excited about giving even more than a cup of water.
Hi. ថាបងឆ្លាប់បាត់ហើយនឹងបងគេមុនហើយការនឹងពុកយន់តុងនៅទៅលក់បងតបងពីព្រោះខ្ញុំបានតែខ្ញុំវិលធ្លាក់ខ្លួនទៅទីឈួតពីព្រោះខ្ញុំទៅកូនមកខែនឹងខ្ញុងងាប់7ឆ្នាំមួយតបពីនឹងមកទៀតខ្ញុងងាប់ពុកលាក់ជូទឹកសិន
ហើយការនឹងឃើញគេទៅព្រះទៀតមកផ្ញើទៅច្បတ်ទៅទៀតន
Well, a picture says so much more than words. I don't even feel like I can add anything to it. I just pray, God, that little beautiful little child won't have to live afraid. That mother hurt. In Jesus' name. I don't ever have to lose a child to understand what that would feel like. It's not something any parent ever wants to feel or experience, but those people do continuously. It's almost unbearable pain, but we can correct it. It's not even like St. Jude's, the wonderful work they do, but they're looking so often for a cure they can't seem to find. Betty, we found the cure.
That's right, James. And this precious mother, she knows what killed her two babies. And she knows the possibility of losing all of her babies if something's not done. This is something that we can help with. This is something we can change by drilling the water wells so that they can have clean water. That little precious sibling there lost her brother and her sister, and she said she kept looking for them and they weren't there. To me, that's so sad, and it didn't have to be. Well, we can stop things like that from happening to these children. Please join with us and help us.
And I believe, Betty, with all my heart, you will help. So here, let me just put it as plain and simple as I can. If you would get up from where you are and just go and get your bank card to use it like a check, or go and get a check and make it to Life and say, I want to help give water. Or take your bank card and call the number, or go to lifetoday.org online and use that card like a check, which is how you should always use it, and make the largest gift you can, because you'll be given the greatest gift. You'll be given life, plus the fact that we're going to point people to the life of God in Christ that inspired that expression of love. So it's an eternal impact, not just present day enriching of the individual circumstances. So I'm asking you, please, to take that card or write a check and understand this. A well costs $4,800. If there's any way you can do that, I believe you'll do it. Would you? What an exciting thing to know I can do it. Many of you prayed you could do it. Or give $1,200 and pray three join you, or $2,400 and pray another person joins you. Whatever you can do, do it. But keep this in mind, because this is where most of the support comes. And we're targeting 500 areas for wells in 20 countries. All right? $48 will give 10 people water the rest of their life. That's how it breaks out. $144 will give 30. We're asking you right now, please, simply move to the phone or online, and let's give all the water and all the help you can provide. Would you do that? We have some beautiful gifts for the children you love that'll inspire them, inspirational stories, women at the well, children at the well, and we have an incredible journal. It's been such a blessing to so many that we'd love to send you, plus the beautiful glass artwork, if you'll help us drill a large portion of a well or a well. Thank you so much. Father, I pray every person who can give will gladly do it right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you. Thank you for answering a mother's prayer like the one you saw, and a little sibling's prayer. Thank you.
Every day, children of all ages are forced to make a dreadful choice. drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease, or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most effective, life-saving demonstrations of God's love you could ever be a part of. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, you can help establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages, impacting over 20 nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request the new Children at the Well interactive book to help your little ones understand the blessing of clean water, as well as the Women at the Well daily devotional with 32 refreshing devotionals for your quiet time. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request this beautiful leather journal to help capture your personal times with God. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our commemorative sculptured glass statue, The Blessing. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You know, I'm excited about everything we give, but this Children at the Well, the joy of clean water, little children are going to learn this. I'm going to tell you something. They're going to take giving clean water seriously. They get it. Oh, how I wish in our schools, Betty, that we taught more that would inspire people to be great the way they can be. Women at the Well. This is a treasure. Stories from women who've been on our program, Betty and our oldest daughter, Rhonda, but also our beautiful Robin, who is very much with Jesus right now in glory. Hear her story. We're sending it to you, these books, for any gift. But I really pray if you can, you'll give a water well, or at least give a big part of it. Be a part of the blessing. Thank you so much for watching. I hope you'll encourage your friends and give them the time to watch Life Today and the channel, because we really ought to get everyone watching Life Today, because then they'll begin to express life every day and share life. So encourage them to watch. Thank all of you for being here.
Next week, in 1994, George Dinahy nearly died in a Romanian orphanage because he was born without arms. Now he shares God's love through music. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.